Yesterday we read until the Mishnah and Daf Mem Hey Amud Beis, but a couple of points to go back to relating to that Gemara. The Gemara was discussing Sefer Torah that you had found in the hands of a guy, in the hands of a min, if a guy wrote a Sefer Torah. So at one point the Gemara had said that if you find a Sefer Torah, biyad ovid kochavim, amri lo yignas v'amri lo korimbo, that according to one shita, the Sefer Torah needs Geniza, and according to the other Shita, you're allowed to read from the Sefer Torah even that was found in the hands of an Ovid Kochavim. So Rashi says, why, if it's found in the hands of an Ovid Kochavim, would you be allowed to read from it? So he said, it's Sfek Sveka. Maybe the Ovid Kochavim didn't even write the Torah, maybe a Jew wrote the Torah, and even if the Ovid Kochavim did write the Torah, maybe he wrote it L'Shem Yisrael, so since he wrote it for us, so it's good enough. Tosos disagrees though. Tosos says, no, if the Ovid Kochavim writes it, we have a klal that we learned yesterday also, that anyone who's not kol sheyeshno b'kshiri yeshno b'ksiva, that the only people who are able to produce stam, the only people who are able to write Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzos, etc., is someone who's chayiv in the mitzvah of tefillin, who's chayiv in putting on the tefillin. So an Ovid Kochavim that writes the Sefer Torah is absolutely no good. So it's not a Sfek Sveka, says Tosos, that even if the guy wrote it, maybe he wrote it for us, and therefore it's okay. It's not okay, even if he wrote it for us. So Tosos says it must be that it's really a rov, that rov Sefer Torah are written by Jews and are not written by Goyim, and that's what we're really relying on. The Nodeb Yehuda is a tshuva, Madura Tinyanis and Mekuf Pei Aleph, that's when we say, when Tosos says as a Dover Pashut, that whenever a guy writes a Torah, whenever a guy writes a Sefer rather, it has no Kedusha whatsoever, and L'chora what Tosos means is that it would therefore need Geniza, right? Amri la Yignos and Amri la Korinbo, is that if you can't be Korinbo, you need to put it in Geniza. So he says that Shita is only in a situation where a guy writes the Torah, a guy writes a Sefer, whatever it may be, and he figures that he'll try to sell it to a Jew, and if he can't sell it to a Jew, so he'll keep it. So it's partially for himself. So since it's partially for himself, there's always a chashash that he wrote it l'shem alilim. We always assume that he wrote it for Avodah Zarah or whatever, because he has in the back of his mind that he's going to keep it for himself. But something that belongs to a Jew, the Jew commissions a guy to do a job for him, to write something with the Shem Hashem. I think the case that David was dealing with was writing it on a stone that they were using for an Aron Kodesh, that they wanted to write the Shem Hashem on the stone, probably had like the Aseres HaDibros or something, so Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So they wanted to write the Shem Hashem, and they commissioned the guy to do it. They showed him how to write the letters, and he was supposed to engrave that stone with the Shem Hashem. So he says that doesn't require Geniza. That for sure could have Kedusha, because it's obviously he's doing it for you, he's not doing it L'Shem Alilim, he's doing it for your shul, he's doing it. So in that situation, there's no doubt that it has Kedusha. Similarly, if a guy publishes Sfarim, he's in the publishing business, so you bring a Sefer to be published, that too, the Sefer would have Kedusha, would not require Geniza. There's a famous Tshuvas HaRamah in Simen Yud about a whole tumult about the publishing of the Rambam, where there was a fight over who had the rights to publish the Rambam. There was a Hasagas Gavul issue, but the Rambam says, leaving out any Hasagas Gavul issue, leaving out any competition or unfair competition between two people and who has the rights to publish a Rambam, the Pashtus is a guy one of the publishers was a guy in that tshuva. So Rama says Pashtus is that a guy who publishes the Rambam, if he's doing it b'shvil Yisrael, then for sure it's a wonderful thing. It's a great zuchus for him. It's not something we're going to have to take all the Rambams and put them in Geniza. No, it's a great zuchus. It's a wonderful thing. Okay, so that was on that first Tosus. One other Tosus of note from yesterday is we said kol sheyeshno b'kshiri yeshno b'ksiva, only those who wear tefillin, who have a chiv to wear tefillin, can write tefillin. So Tosus says a startling chiddush. Mikan omer Rabbeinu Tam, de'ein isha ogedes lulav va'osa tzitzis, kivin delo mifkada. It's not only stam, Tosus says, Rabbeinu Tam says, it's any mitzvah that a woman's not chayiv to do, or a person's not chayiv to do, they're not able to prepare the cheftza shel mitzvah. So if a chefza shel mitzvah is dalad minim, a woman's not chayiv in dalad minim, she can't prepare a dalad minim. Chefza shel mitzvah is a tzitzis, woman's not chayiv in tzitzis, she can't make tzitzis.
says Tosfos ve'ein nira the hamid the paslinim bereishat chelas tzitzis povit kuchavim to darish bnei Yisrael va'asu v'loba of the kuchavim v'chal diyishak shera. The Gemara in Menachos has a specific drasha to tell me that a guy can't make tzitzis. That implies that a woman can make tzitzis, that there is no psul. So Tosfos disagrees with this Rabbeinu Tam, but nevertheless Rabbeinu Tam holds that a woman is not allowed to make tzitzis, not allowed to make tefillin. It also says another raya that Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. Right? According to Rabbeinu Tam's svara, a guy should not be allowed to put up your sukkah. And the halacha is, it's enough in a gemara, that a sukkah is ganvich, and a guy is allowed to put up your sukkah. There's no problem with a guy putting up your sukkah. Rav Shach always tells a story of when his father was in the Bronx, that the conservative shul, the rabbi of the conservative shul went to his father, and he had a new rabbi. He wasn't as firm as the old rabbi, so the gabbai, or whoever it was, didn't like the rabbi, so he went to Rav Shach's father, and he said, they have a guy putting up the sukkah. Isn't that terrible? Isn't it wrong? So he said, it's wrong because the sukkah is built inside the shul. It's inside the building. That's what's wrong about it. It's not the guy. It's sukkah's ganvich, it's takakasher. So, but that's a raya against Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, a guy's not chayv in the mitzvah of sukkah, so he shouldn't be allowed to put up a sukkah. So v'dafka b'sefer Torah tefillin mezuzos t'chsum k'shartam k'shaftam t'ashin nachi. He says it's only by stam we say this. It's not by other things other than stam. How do we paskin? This is a major issue now. Is a woman allowed to put? Meaning, is a woman allowed to make tzitzis? Probably to pay women to make tzitzis is a lot easier than paying men to make the tzitzis. So is a woman allowed to make the tzitzis? Is a woman allowed to put the dalet and minim together? Right? Is that permissible? So the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Simin Yadalid writes that an isha is kasher to tie the tzitzis, but the Rama quotes the opinions of those who are cholik, and he says that yesh lahachmir l'chavchila. And the Rama says, and not only should he be machmir al yidei isha, he should also be machmir al yidei katan, and a katan shouldn't make tzitzis. Which gets into a very interesting question. I didn't have a chance to research it properly, but the question is, can a katan make tzitzis for himself? Right? Because we know that once a katan is higiel l'chinuch, so you're supposed to use a cheftza shel mitzvah that's kasher. Right, the Ritva in Sukkah says that you're not supposed to give a kid on Sukkah a kid who's chigil chinuch a lemon and a piece of celery. You know, you're supposed to give him a kasher lulav and esrog. It has to be something that's a kasher chavtza shel mitzvah. So if that's the case, you need a kasher chavtza shel mitzvah. So a katan makes tzitzis, and we say that we're machmir l'chadchila for the daya that anyone who's not chayiv in the mitzvah is not able to produce a kasher chavtza shel mitzvah. So the katan made his own tzitzis. He shouldn't be allowed to wear it because it's not a chavtza shel mitzvah. Obviously, the svar on the other side is that he's only chayiv midin chinuch, so he should be able to produce a chinuch kasher shel mitzvah. Meaning, even though you need a chavtza shel mitzvah, that's a kasher chavtza shel mitzvah. But since his whole chiyuv is only midin chinuch, so midin chinuch, he's able to produce it as well. He should be able to whatever level the whole idea is. You can't produce something that you're not chayiv in. Well, if you are chayiv on your level, you should be able to produce on your level. Meaning that should be whatever the level of chayiv is, his level of production should match the level of chayiv. Okay, it's an interesting issue. But we have a new Mishnah, new daf to get to. So Memheim and Beis toward the bottom of the page at the Mishnah. Motzi asishto mishum shem ra lo yachzir. If a person divorces his wife because she has a bad reputation, people are saying that she was mizana. People are talking about that she was cheating on him. So and that's why he divorces her. He's never allowed to remarry her. Mishum neder lo yachzir. If he divorces his wife because she was taking the darim, he's not allowed to remarry her either. And in both of these cases, he's not allowed to remarry her means even if he found out that the rumors were false or that her nedarim were not real nedarim, you were able to be matir the nedarim, they were able to get rid of the nedarim, you're still not allowed to remarry her. Now we're going to have two opinions as to why one is not allowed to remarry a wife that he's divorced because of Shem Ra, because of Nidarim. The opinions are going to appear explicitly in the Gemara, but they're implicit in the Mishnah, so it bears mentioning now. Rashi even mentions it now. One opinion is that you can't be machzir her because we're afraid that what's going to happen is a husband is going to divorce his wife, and then she's going to get remarried, she's going to have children, and the husband's going to say, you know, had I known that you didn't really cheat on me, or that your nedarim could have been, we could have been matir your nedarim. I never would have divorced you. My whole get was a get b'taus. I want you back. And what's going to happen? He's going to claim the get was a taus. That means that she's still an eshes ish, that she married someone else while still an eshes ish, and that all of her children are therefore mamzerim. And that's, but when's a husband going to do that? When is someone going to say, I want you back? Only if he thinks that he can actually get her back. But if we tell him straight out, look, you divorce her, it's final. You're never allowed to be matzer her. You're divorcing her mishum shem ra, mishum nedarim, it's over. You're not allowed, we're never going to let you remarry her no matter what. So then the husband will lose the incentive to want to try to get her back and make all of her children mamzerim. So that's one possible reason. That's called mishum kilkula. He'll go and he'll try to be mekalkal, or he'll try to mess her up by saying that his divorce wasn't serious. He never really wanted to divorce her. The second possibility is not mishum kilkula, but because mishum pritzusa, that we don't want Benos Yisrael to be prutzos in arayos and nedarim, and therefore as a punishment to them, that if they're going to be a prutza in arayos and nedarim, so we make it that they lose their husbands for good, and that it's totally over. So mishum pritzus, we tell them that they can never get remarried. So anyway, so let's see now the machlokes tonight will make a little more sense in that context. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol neder sheyadu barabim loyaksev sheloyadu barab miyaksev. He says it depends what kind of neder it is. If it was a neder that was public knowledge, it was a neder that was taken barabim, that's when we say he's not allowed to marry. He's not allowed to remarry her ever, because such a neder, you can never be made for such a neder. There's no way for the husband to ever undo such a neder. So Rabbi Yehuda, his concern was the pritzus concern. So when it was a neder that was publicly done and it was irrevocable neder, so that's a horrible pritzus in nedarim. So for such a neder, we're going to say lo yaksir. But if it's a neder shalo yadu barabim, where you could make a hafara, so then there's no reason to make a knas, because you can undo the neder. So that's not a terrible pritzus in the world of nedarim, since it's a neder that can be undone. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, no, it's not an issue of whether yadu barabim or not. Rather, kol neder shetzarech hakiras chacham lo yaksir. Any neder that requires a chakiras chacham, that requires a chacham to look into it, you can never bring her back. Why not? Because Rav Meir holds that the issue is one of kilkula. The issue is one that the husband's going to come later on and say, had I only known that I could have gotten rid of this neder, I never would have divorced you. So if it's a situation of chakiras chacham, the husband can definitely come and say, had I known that a chacham could look into this neder and get rid of this neder, I knew that I couldn't. But had I known that a chacham could be matir the neder, then for sure I never would have divorced you. But v'she'enu tzarech chakiras chacham yachzir. But if it's a neder that does not require chakiras chacham, there's no such knas that he's not allowed to remarry you, because the husband can't be mekalkaler anyway. What's he going to say? Had I only known that I could be made for the neder? Well, the neder was right there. Why weren't you made for it? You should have done it. You should have been made for it. From the fact that he didn't do his part, so he has no taina later on to say, if I only would have known, I could have been made for it. You know you could have been made for it. Everyone knows they can be made for it. Not everyone knows the chacham could have been made for you. You wouldn't have known the chacham could get rid of the neder. So that he would have a legitimate taina. And for that, he could try to mess it up. But on his own account, he can't try to mess it up. He has no case. And why is it that this is Rashi Misachs Chagiga highlights this point. Misachs Chagiga Dafyun, the phrase comes up a few times in Shas, that heter nedarim porchim ba'avir. The Gemara says that unlike certain areas of Torah where there are strong bases in Pesukim, heter nedarim is like floating in air. There's very little in the Pesukim to keep it grounded in the Pesukim. It's sort of out there, because it doesn't have much in Torah Shabbat to really relate to heter nedarim. So Rashi says that's referring to a heter chacham. I mean, the idea that a husband can be made for his wife's nedarim, that's not so much parchim ba'avir, but the heter chacham is parchim ba'avir. Meaning, in our case, that would mean he would have a legitimate taina that, look, I didn't know chacham could be matir. I want you back. I want the wife back. And he could be able to really, really mess her up. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, a third shita. Amar Rav Lazar lo asu zeh el mipnei zeh. Rav Lazar says that Rav Meir has the whole thing backwards. If there's one place where we are going to be worried about kilkul, it's in a case where the chacham would not have been involved. We would not be worried about kilkul when the chacham would be involved. Why? As far as follows. If the husband were to try to say, I never would have divorced you had I known that you could have just gone to a chacham and got rid of your neder. We wouldn't pay any attention to that. Because we have a chazaka that a person doesn't want, that his wife should have to go in front of a chacham to reveal all of her nedarim. We have a chazaka that a man doesn't want that to happen. Why doesn't he want it to happen? Because when a woman has nedarim, it shows something about her. It shows a major character flaw, right? The Ran over here says that a woman who takes nedarim, it's an indication that she gets angry too much, that she has a temper. Because when you have a temper, you do stupid things like taking nedarim, or because that relates to the fact that the Gemara tells us that ba'avon nedarim banim meisim k'shem ketanim, that when a woman takes nedarim, as a result of that, her children die at a very young age. So it's a very embarrassing thing. He doesn't want his wife to go in front of a chacham, telling all the, he doesn't want to air out his dirty laundry in front of a chacham. He'd rather keep the nedarim in house. So if she's going to go to a chacham, there's no way he would say, I would rather have had her go to a chacham than divorce her. He'd much rather divorce her than ever go to a chacham. We're not going to pay any attention to such a taina. Oh, if I only would have known she could have gone to a chacham. That's bogus. Of course, even if he would have known that she's able to go to a chacham, he would have divorced her. He never would have. He never would have let her go to the chacham. So we're not going to listen to that. But when he could have taken care of it himself, and he simply was unaware that he's allowed to take care of it himself, that's when he has a taina. That's when we really have to be worried that he's going to be mekalkaler, because he can say, look, had I known that I could take care of this, I would have taken care of this. I would have done something about this. So then he's going to have a real taina. So that's where it's really asr mishum kilkul. So Reb Lazar says, they're both asr to be machzir in both cases, but the case where a chacham would have been involved is only asr as a gzeirah mishum the case where the chacham wouldn't be involved. The exact opposite of the way Reb Meir viewed it. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, to finish off the Mishnah, Maisa b'tzidon b'achad shamar l'ishto konam imeini megarshicha. There was a story in Tzidon where a man said to his wife, I'm taking a konam, a type of neder, if I don't divorce you, v'girshin, he divorced her, v'yitiru lo chacham she'achzrenim imeini tikkun olam, and the chacham allowed him to remarry her because of tikkun olam. What exactly that case is talking about and how it relates to the rest of the Mishnah is for the Gemara to discuss. We're going to leave that aside for now. The Gemara is going to plug that case into the Mishnah and explain how it fits exactly. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Binyamin, Amar Rabbi Nachman, V'hu sha'amar l'mishum shem ra ani motziyacha, mishum neder ani motziyacha. This idea that if a man divorces his wife because there are rumors that she's been mizana, or because she's taking too many nedarim, that he's not allowed to ever remarry her, is only if he tells her when he's divorcing her why he's divorcing her. If he stam divorces his wife, and in the back of his mind it's mishum neder, but he never expresses that it's mishum neder, so we don't say that he's not allowed to remarry her. Then he is allowed to remarry her. It's only if he expresses exactly why he's divorcing her that we say he's not allowed to remarry her. Kasavar taima mai mishum kalkula. Because we're assuming the whole reason that he wouldn't be allowed to remarry her is because he's messing her up, in the sense that if she goes and remarries, there's a concern that if the first husband were allowed to remarry her, he would come and want to claim her back and say that the whole divorce was a mistake. He's only able to make such a claim if he had initially told her at the time of the divorce that I'm divorcing you mishum neder, mishum shem ra. So then he could come later and say, you see, I even told you it was only mishum neder, it was only mishum shem ra. It was only al tanai that you had nedarim that were irrevocable. It was only al tanai that it was true that you were mizana. But now that I know that it's not true, the whole get should be invalidated, because the whole thing was al tanai. So Tosa says that it's not really that he'd be able to invalidate the get, meaning he wouldn't. It's not a real tanai. Even if he tells her that, it's not a real tanai, because you need a tanai kafel and all the rest, all the dine tanaim. So it's not a real tanai. Rather, Tosa says near the chashazu enakim las bialma. Will she a mamish get batel benamam zerim da lo amar almanas? He never used all the terminology that's used to make a valid tanai. So it wouldn't really invalidate the get if the husband were to come with such a taina, but it would make a big enough stink about it that people would start saying her children are mamzerim, and that's almost as bad as having actual children are mamzerim, because no one's going to touch them with a 10-foot pole. It's going to be very very difficult. So he can definitely mess up her life, but But if he had never said anything at the time of the divorce, so he has no power to do anything anyway, because no one's going to listen to him. He's not even going to be able to create a laz. Even if he claims he never would have divorced her, and all the people will view it as a joke. There's no one that's going to pay any attention to him when they know that he never said anything at the time that he divorced her. He just divorced her. Stop. Ikada Amri Amr Rav Yosef Bar Yumi Amr Rav Nachman Sarach Sheyomar La Have Yodas Shemishum Shemra Ani Motziacha Mishum Nedra Ani Motziacha. That in general, if a husband is divorcing his wife because of Shemra, because of Neder, he has a requirement to tell her that this is why I'm divorcing you. He has to express to her that I'm divorcing you Mishum Shemra Mishum Neder. Not like the first lesson that we had, that there's no requirement of saying one way or the other. It's just that if he says it, that's when he's not allowed to ever remarry her. If he doesn't say it, he is allowed to remarry her. Now we're saying that if that's his kavana, he must express that kavana. Why? Because some time in Makadesh Lubin Israel Prutus Bar Rasubinadarim. We hold the whole reason is that the whole reason in general that you're not allowed to remarry her is we don't want the Bnei Israel to be Prutzos in these areas. So therefore you need to express this to her to let it be known that it's because of this pritzos that she's losing her marriage. Tanya Kalishna Kama Vitanya Kalishna Basra. So we have a brisa that supports each of these lashonos. Tanya Kalishna Kama Amra Meir Mnema Amra Motzi Asishto Mishum Shemra Lo Yachzir Umishum Nedo Lo Yachzir. Why is it that you're not allowed to remarry a woman that you divorced because of Shemra, because of Neder, Shema Telech Vitinasi La'acher, V'nimtzu Dvarim Badayin. Maybe she's going to go marry somebody else. It will turn out that all the rumors about her in the first place were false. V'yomer, and the first husband will say, Ilu Ayisi Odeh Shekenu, had I known that these were false rumors, that she didn't really cheat on me, Afilu Mayunosim Li Mea Mana Lo Ayisi Megarsha, they could have paid me Mea Mana, they could have paid me 100 manas, and I never would have divorced her. V'nimtza Get Batel B'nei Mamzerim, then it's going to turn out that the Get is going to be Batel, and the children are going to be Mamzerim. Or as Tosa said, even if the Get is not going to be Batel, but it will at least turn out that people will think the Get is Batel, that it's going to be Motzi La'az on the get, and people will think the children are mamzerim. Leficha chomrim lo. Therefore, we tell the guy, Havi yodea shamotzi asishto mishum shemra lo yachzir mishum neder lo yachzir. So we warn him in advance. Look, this is final. If you divorce mishum shemra mishum neder, you will never be able to remarry her. And knowing that, he'll never go and try to claim that his get was for some reason invalid. Tanya Kalishna Basra, we have a brisa that supports the second lashon. Amr of Lazar Rabbi Yosef Nema Amr Amotzi Yosishu Mishum Shem Ra Lo Yachzir Mishum Neder Lo Yachzir. Why is it that when someone divorces his wife because of Shem Ra, he cannot remarry her, and because of Neder, he's not allowed to remarry her? Shelo Yibnos Yisrael Prutzos by Arayos Ben Adarim, because you don't want the Bnos Yisrael to be Prutzos in these areas of Arayos and Adarim. Leficha Chomrim Lo. Therefore, we tell him, Emr La Havi Yodaa Shemishum Shem Ra Ani Motziacha Mishum Neder Ani Motziacha. Make sure you tell her why. Why you are divorcing her, and that it's because of the Shemra or because of the Neder. You notice the little Aleph relates to the Rambam that this is quoted lahalacha that you have to actually tell her that it's mishum Shemra or mishum Neder ani motziacha. There is a tshuva in the Nodav Yehuda, fascinating case. The Nodav Yehuda relates to our sugya. The case was a woman who had she'ila mashi'ir. This is another Yehuda Madura Kama Evena Ezra Simon Yer Aleph. He says a case was a woman was married to a man, and there were rumors that the woman was cheating on the husband, and obviously that caused fights in the house, and apparently the husband was beating the wife. V'harbe patzeh b'makos achzorios. He was beating her up, and the woman, not happy with her abusive marriage, went to a friend. And she asked the friend, what do I do to get out of this marriage? How can I make sure that my husband will divorce me? I just want out. So the friend said, what you do is, you confess cheating on him. If you confess cheating on him, even if it's not true, just make that confession, he'll want to divorce you. He'll have to divorce you. He's not allowed to sleep with the wife who cheated on him. So he's going to have to divorce you. That's your way out. So she went and she confessed that she cheated on him. The husband went and asked the Shaila, do I have to divorce my wife? She said she cheated on me. The rabbi who he asked the Shaila to said, do you believe her? Do you think that it's true? And the husband said, yeah, it's definitely, I definitely believe her. I think that it could be true. So the rabbi said, you have to divorce her. The husband divorced her. Clearly, he divorced her mishum shem ra. He divorced her because of this notion that she was cheating on him. And then it became revealed after some time, either the neighbor told somebody or it became known, and the woman was even moded to it, that the only reason she confessed was because her neighbor told her that she can confess and get out of the marriage in that way, but that she didn't really that she didn't really cheat on the husband. It was the shame ra wasn't true. It was only a way of getting out of the marriage. And the husband started crying, "I want my wife back. I didn't divorce her under those circumstances. I divorced her to I guess he wanted to marry her again." And for whatever reason, the woman wanted to get remarried also. She said that they had two young children. She didn't think it was healthy for the children. For whatever reason, she wanted to remarry him also. And she said they want to get remarried. So the Shiloh was posted in the Rabbi Yehuda. Motzi asishto mishum shemra lo yachzir. So is he allowed to remarry her? He clearly divorced her mishum shemra. So the Rabbi Yehuda discusses. Now in our Gemara, we said that's only lo yachzir. If you tell her, you have to tell her first that I'm being megarish you mishum shemra. Maybe if you never told her I'm being megarish you mishum shemra, then you're allowed to be yachzir. So over here, it's pretty evident that he was megarish mishum shemra, but he never said it. He never told her. So the dispute is done whether this counts or not. This also relates to the issue of amaslo, which is really a sugya in Hilchas Nida, right? It's a discussion in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch also. If a woman wears big day nidus, the Gemara, in the times of the Gemara, that when a woman was a Nida, she would wear special begadim where everyone would know she's a Nida. You just look at what she's wearing, and everyone would be aware of the fact that she's a Nida. And that was, nowadays, we keep these things pretty private for the most part. Women don't like to run around telling people that they're menstruating or whatever, that they're a Nida. It's not such a normal thing to do. But it used to be that when there were Taharos issues and people had to know to keep their truma away or whatever, so they knew, and it wasn't something that was a source of embarrassment. A woman would know she would wear big day needles. So the sugya is a woman wears big day needles b'shcheinusah. She's wearing big day needles, and then so her husband assumes she's a nida, and then later on she tells her husband, "Nah, I'm not really a nida. I was just wearing big day needles because there were these guys that were bothering me, and I wanted them to stay away from me. And you know, that's an easy way to get them away by just wearing big day needles. But I'm not really a nida." So she gave an amasl l'dvareha. So when do you believe her with an amasl? When do you not? So it's a fascinating note of view. He goes through that entire sugya of Amasla, and he goes to our sugya to discuss over here. So he says, Al Benidon Didon, just the bottom line, Shehi Hodis Lefnei Agerish and Shazinsa. Beforehand, she was moda that she was Mizana. Varav Shalas Abal Mamel and Varaveshav Kain Shul Mamin. And the husband said he believed it. Al Piyadvar Meila Horala Rav Shemachayv Ligasha. That's even more, it's even worse than saying Mishum Shemra Ani Motziyacha. He has a Shaila, and we know the only reason he got the Psak to divorce her was because of the Shemra. So this is even stronger than if he told her that Mishum Shemra Ani Motziyacha. So the Nodibida says clearly, this was done mishum shemra. There's no doubt, and this would fit into that category of asur lachzir, that he's not allowed to be machzir. Okay, so I'm not going to go through the whole maskana, but interesting read. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Neder Sheyadu Barav Lo Yachzir V'Shlo Yadu Barav Mi Yachzir. Any neder that the rabbim were aware of, you can not remarry the wife if that's the neder that he divorced her on account of, and any neder the rabbim were not aware of, he's allowed to remarry her at some later date. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda think that a neder that the rabbim know about, there's no undoing such a neder, that's an irrevocable neder? Where do you get such an idea that when it's Yadu Bo Rabim, it's irrevocable? Dechsiv, because it says by the Givonim, the story happened in Sefer Yehoshua, that the Jewish people were coming and they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, and we had a mitzvah to get rid of all the nations that were inhabiting Eretz Yisrael, but there was one nation, the Givonim, that were afraid that they would get killed, so they tried to make peace, but they figured, for whatever reason, we'll discuss this in a moment, I guess, they figured that if they were to fess up on who they are, and they were to tell Klal Yisrael that they were in fact natives of Eretz Canaan, that they were going to get killed, and that even if they tried to make peace, it wasn't going to work. So they put on old tattered clothing, they took moldy bread, they rode on donkeys, and they came and they told Yehoshua that they came from a far off land, and that they were interested in making peace, that they were not natives of Eretz Canaan, and that they wanted to make peace. And Yehoshua made peace with them under those conditions, under that false premise. And as it turns out, they found out later, a short time later, that they were lying, and that these were the Givonim, that these were people who actually lived in Eretz Canaan the entire time, that they were in fact natives, and therefore they lied in their peace agreement. So the people started telling Yeshua, "No, we should kill them, they lied to us." And Yeshua refused. He said, "Look, we made a promise, we made a deal, we made a shvua, we're not going to hurt them, we live by our word." And that's what the pasuk is referring. V'lo hikum b'nei Yisrael, the b'nei Yisrael did not smite them, ki nishvu lem siyei eda, because they had already taken a shvua. So obviously, what do you see from there? Why couldn't they be made for the shvua? Why couldn't they undo the shvua? So the answer is, they couldn't undo the shvua because it was a shvua shiyad b'rabim. Any shvua that was done b'rabim can't be undone. So for that reason, they couldn't undo such a shvua. V'rabbanon, what are the Rabbanon going to say to that? So the Rabbanon will respond simply, "Hasa michal shvua levay klal." Does you think that shvua had any firm ground whatsoever? Kivin damr lehu me'eretz rechoka banav lo ba'u lo chay l'shvua levay klal. The whole premise of the shvua was a lie. So of course that shvua is not chal. So there's nothing to worry about with that shvua. Tosfos in fact asked, well, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to say to that? How's Rabbi Yehuda going to respond to that? Didn't he know the whole Shavuah was a lie? So how's Rabbi Yehuda going to view that Shavuah? And first of all, and furthermore, tells us, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how do they let them live in Eretz Yisrael? There's a pasuk lo yeshu ba'artzecha. You're not allowed to leave them to live in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a nishva levatel, it's a mitzvah. The Shavuah is a Shavuah to be mevatel a mitzvah of getting rid of them. So it says, so even Rabbi Yehuda should have to say that the only reason they stood by the Shavuah is because of chilul Hashem and nothing else. So it also says no. Rabbi Yehuda would say that if you're able to be made for such a shvua, then it would not have been a chilul Hashem. So you can't say that Rabbi Yehuda too would argue that it's mishum chilul Hashem, because Rabbi Yehuda would hold that if it were a shvua that you're able to be made for, then it wouldn't even be a chilul Hashem. Now the Rabbanan for their part say, why didn't we kill them? Mishum chilul Hashem. Hayidelo katlinu mishum kedushas Hashem. We didn't kill them because it would have been a chilul Hashem to kill them, even though the shvua was totally invalid. You still have to take into account that if the other party thought it was valid, it's chilul Hashem to break your word, even though technically it's an invalid shvua. You have a similar gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Ches of a non-Jewish woman who gave a certain refuah to Rabbi Yochanan, and she made him take a shvua that he's not going to reveal that refuah to anybody else. But the shvua that he took was an invalid shvua. So he went and he revealed it to other people, and the gemara right away asks him, Rabbi Yochanan, how could he do that? Chilul Hashem. So you see, even when the shvuah is invalid, you still have to worry about the chilul Hashem element of the shvuah. But anyway, this is the machlokas seemingly between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban. Rabbi Yehuda apparently held that the shvuah was valid and you couldn't be made for the shvuah. The Rabban held that the shvuah was not valid. Tosos is bothered anyway. Shouldn't the shvua automatically be invalid because it's a shvua levatel, it's a mitzvah of losichya kol neshama? We have a mitzvah to not let anyone live when we go into Eretz Yisrael. So shouldn't that be a breaking of the shvua? And even though technically it's true that prior to entering Eretz Yisrael, we sent Yeshua to send out three letters, and the letters were to say, anyone who wants to make peace with us, fantastic, make peace with us. Anyone who wants to run, run. Anyone who wants to stay and fight, we'll be happy to fight you as well. So don't you see there was an option for peace? As Tosfos says, that was only before they went into Eretz Yisrael. Once they went into Eretz Yisrael, there was no option for peace anymore. And that's in fact why the Givonim had to fake it. The Givonim could have made peace prior to the Jews coming into Eretz Yisrael, but they waited too long. And so once they waited and the Jews had already come into Eretz Yisrael, their peace opportunities were gone. So the Givonim could not just make shalom and still stay and live there. That wasn't an option anymore. That's why they had to make this whole hoax. That's why they had to dress up in the tattered clothing, etc. But the point is, once that happened, how was Yeshua allowed to let them stay? Wasn't that a shvul levatel semitzvah? So Tosfos says, no, what you have to say is that once a nation wants to make peace, even after we enter Eretz Yisrael, there's no violation of losichya kol neshama. Then there's no mitzvah of losichya kol neshama, of not letting them live. We may not be allowed to let them stay, but we're not allowed to let them, we may not be allowed to let them keep land in Eretz Yisrael or anything, or stay in Eretz Yisrael living under our domain, but you're not allowed to, but you are allowed to let them live if they're trying to make peace with you. It's a little bit difficult to work out the details of that, Tosos. What exactly are we supposed to allow them to do? We're allowed to let them live, but are we allowed to let them stay, or are we not allowed to let them stay? What was the whole point of sending the letters before we went into Eretz Yisrael if the opportunity for Shalom is still going to exist after we come into Eretz Yisrael. So I'm not exactly sure how to make sense of that. All right, says the Gemara Vayter, v'kama rabim. So what exactly is the definition of a rabim when we say that if it's a shvua that rabim are aware of, it can't be made for it? So Rav Nachman Amar Gimel, Rav Yitzchak Amar Asar. Rav Nachman says 3 people is a rabim. Rav Yitzchak says 10 people is a rabim. Rav Nachman Amar Gimel, Yamim Bey is rabim Gimel. When the Torah uses the phrase Yamim Rabim by Azava Gedola, we darshan Yamim, the miut of Yamim is 2. Right, because it's a plural, and Rabim therefore adds a third. So we see that Rabim means 3. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Asar Tchsiv Eida. Rabbi Yitzchak says no. Rabim is 10 people, as we know from the Meraglim that they're called an Eida, and there were 10 Meraglim who were referred to as the Eida Hara'a. There were 12 in total, but only 10 bad ones. So that's so Rabim is 10 people. This is a discussion in other areas of Halacha as well. Right, we had for instance Safik Tumah Bereshus Rabim. The Gemara in Nazir says that Safik Tumah Bereshus Rabim doesn't mean what's defined as Reshus Rabim Legabe Hilchos Shabbos. Reshus Rabim means in front of 3 people. When 3 people are there, that's called a rabbin. So you see that the number comes up there as well. It probably relates to Malbin Pnei Chavero Rabim also. What's called rabbin is probably also a group of 3 people. It might also relate, there's a machlokas in the poskim, about Berov Am Hadras Melech, that we have a concept that the more people you do a mitzvah together with, that's it beautifies the mitzvah. So Chai Adam writes in Klal Samachas, where he discusses all the issues of mitzvos, the klal that my brother wrote his sefer on, the Siach Buch Lekecha, Chai Yodim writes that Barav Amadrus Melech V'Amr Chazal Eino Domim Rubim Osim Mitzvah L'Miyot Shosim Ube Menachos Mashma D'Shlosh Havi Ravam, that Ravam is 3 people. Bir Alacha says in Hilchos Kiddush Levana in some Tav Chav Vav that no, you want Baravam, you should try to do Kiddush Levana with a minion for Baravam. So perhaps a reflection of these 2 deos over here of what's called a rabbin, whether Ravam involves 3 people or involves 10 people. Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Tzitzis says that if you want that in, you're making a brach on your talis and someone else next to you is putting on his talis at the same time, if you want you can have one of you make the bracha for both of you, and the Mishmaru says that's also Mishum Ravam Hadras Melech. So that sort of implies that even 2 people is enough for Ravam Hadras Melech, but Pashtus is either 3 or 10. Most of the Achronim work to try to explain how the Mishmaru is not really Ravam with 2 people. Probably it only means 3 or 10 people creates a sense of Ravam Hadras Melech. Amar Yosef Rabbi the Maisa B'tzidon V'chulei. So the Mishnah at the end told this story, but what does the story have anything to do with anything? So what says the Gemara, Maitana D'Ketani Maisa. What do we say that led to this story? Chisur Mechzer V'Achiketani. This is the way you're supposed to read it. Medvar Murum K'shenadri Hi. Av Nadar Ihu Yachzer. When do we say that the husband is not allowed to remarry her? That's when he divorced her because of her Nidarim. But if he divorced her because he took a neder to do so, he is allowed to remarry her. So that line, add that line in the Mishnah. Now, Vamar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah, Maishanami B'tzidan. The story also occurred in Tzidan once. Be'achachar Melishah, Konam Eini Migar Shicha. That I'm taking a neder if I don't divorce you. Konam if I don't divorce you. V'girsha, and he divorced her. V'yitiru lo chacham shiach surenim im ne'tikun ha'olam. And the chacham allowed him to remarry her because of tikun ha'olam. Now, my Konam, what sort of konam? Konam means that you're taking some sort of nether. What did he asser himself? What sort of hana'ah did he asser himself from? He said, I will not get any hana'ah from any peros in the world if I don't divorce you. That was the way he took the nether. But they allowed him to remarry her. Of course they allowed him to remarry her. Why not? So it says, no, I might have thought to make a gzeira, to make a special knas on him because of the teaching of Rabbi Nassan that we had so many times before in Meseches Nedarim, we kept on coming up. Right, Rabbi Nassan says, you take a neder, it's like building a bama, you're mekayim the neder, you keep that neder, and you don't try to be made for it, you try to make that neder stand, that's like bringing a carbon on top of a bama. So since it's such a terrible thing to take a neder, right, meaning in the Rashi point, whoever it was in the Nedarim pointed out that the Dimyon between building a bama and taking the neder is that you feel like you're doing a great mitzvah. You feel like I'm doing such a great thing for Avodas Hashem, but really you're doing an avera. So what feels like a mitzvah sometimes is an avera. So I might think, since he did something so bad of being mekayim such a neder, that we should make a knas that he's not allowed to remarry her. Kamash malon, that there's no such knas. Mipnei tikkun ha'olam, my tikkun ha'olam ika, what's the tikkun ha'olam involved in allowing the husband to remarry her after he fulfilled his neder of divorcing her? Why is that tikkun ha'olam? So Amar Rav Sheshes Aresha. Rav Sheshes says, no, the Mipnei tikkun ha'olam is going on the first part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to be machzir your wife if you divorce her mishum shem ra. That's Mipnei tikkun ha'olam. So Ravina Amar, no, the olam ha'sefer, really it is going on this last case. V'achi ketani, ein bazum Mipnei tikkun ha'olam. Meaning the point is, the only reason we would ever say a husband is not allowed to remarry his wife is because of tikkun ha'olam, but in this case where it was his own neder to divorce her, well, there's no tikkun ha'olam concern over here, and because there's no tikkun ha'olam concern, there's nothing to worry about. Says the Mishnah, Motzi Yisrael Mishum Islandus, Rabbi Yudah Amar Liyachzer, V'Chama Amar Liyachzer. If a guy divorces his wife because she's an islandus, Rabbi Yudah says he cannot remarry her, the Chama say he may remarry her. Meaning if it turns out later that she's not an islandus and he wants to remarry her, the Chama say he's allowed to. If she was married to someone else and she had children from that other person, and she goes back to the first husband and says, I want my ksuba money. You divorced me claiming I was an islandist and the whole thing was a mekachtos. Look, I have children now. I'm obviously not an islandist. Give me my ksuba money. Some Rabbi Yudah Omer Lo, we tell her, we tell her maybe it would be smarter if you keep your mouth shut. Because when she claims her ksuba, so she's saying, look, the whole thing was a tos. You never really wanted to divorce me because I wasn't really an islandist. Then it's going to turn her children into mamzerim. It's going to mess her up. Lameimer, Tosfos deals with the issue of, even if she doesn't say it, isn't that taka a good point? That the first divorce wasn't real? The guy clearly divorced because she's not? Okay, Tosfos deals with it. Says the Gemara, Lameimer, Rabbi Yehuda chayish l'kul, Rabban lo chayish l'kulkula. Does this mean to say that Rabbi Yehuda is choshesh, that the husband's going to mess her up, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that he's not allowed to remarry her, and the Rabban are not choshesh for it? But we learn just the opposite. Titnan, Hamotzi yasishu mishum shem ra lo yachzir, mishum neder lo yachzir, that you divorce a wife because of shem ra, because of a neder, you're not allowed to remarry her. Rabbi Yehuda omer kol neder sheyadu barabim lo yachzir, sheyadu barabim yachzir. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's only an issue of yadu barabim that you're not allowed to remarry her. So Alma Rabbanon chayshi l'kulkula, Rabbi Yehuda chayshi l'kulkula. As we explained on the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is not choshesh that you're going to go mess her up. He's only choshesh in terms of pritzel, sinidarim, and shem ra. That's what he's worried about. He's not choshesh you're going to try to mess her up in her new marriage. So isn't it a stira, Rabbi Yehuda, from that Mishnah to this Mishnah? So Amar Shmuel Epoch. Shmuel says, switch around the Shitos in our Mishnah, in this second Mishnah. Ayva midiktani seifa nises la'achar vayil abanam emen avita vask subasa am Rabbi Yehuda amar la shti kusayich yafim midu parayich. But the seifa of our Mishnah, where if she comes and says, look, I want my ksuba back from the first marriage after she has children from her second marriage, she says, I want my ksuba payment, Rabbi Yehuda says, keep your mouth shut, because it's only going to mess you up. So don't you see, Mechal Rabbi Yehuda chayish l'kulkula, that Rabbi Yehuda is worried that she is in fact going to be messed up by this? So you see that Rabbi Yehuda is choshesh for kilkul, so that her second marriage can be messed up? So you say, no, hanami epoch, switch that around as well. Meaning, switch that, make that not Rabbi Yehuda saying that, make that the Rabbanan saying that. Abaye Amar Li Olam Lo Tepuch. Abaye says, no, don't switch around our whole Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda by he savor l'kara meir v'savor l'kara blazer. That perhaps the case in the previous Mishnah, where it was Mishum Neder and Mishum Shem Ra, Rabbi Yehuda held like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar, and that's why even though generally he's choshesh for Kilkul, in that situation he was not choshesh for Kilkul. What do we mean he holds like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar? Bitzarich Savrla Rabbi Lazar. If it was a case where he needed the neder was one that needed a chakiras chacham, so in that situation he held like Rabbi Lazar that a person would never have wanted his wife to be misbazin bezdin, and therefore there was no reason to be choshesh for kilkul because the husband would never have, we wouldn't believe the husband that he would have wanted her to go to a chacham. If it's a case where she doesn't need chakiras chacham,
then he holds, in that sense, he holds like Rabbi Meir, that a husband can't claim afterwards, if I only would have known that I could have been made for the neder, then I would have done it. Now, you know you can be made for the neder. You should have known. And he wasn't made for the neder, so we don't listen to such a taina. So that's why it's dafka in those cases that Rabbi Yehuda would say that we're not going to be choshesh l'kilkul. Amar Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda kasha, Rabbanan lo kasha. It's only a stirun in Rabbi Yehuda. It's not a stirun in the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are also sosa from the previous Mishnah to this Mishnah. Meaning in this Mishnah, the Rabbanan are not choshesh for kilkul. In the previous Mishnah, they are. Elo amar Rava, Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha, k'tishaninan. Rabbi Yehuda is not a stirun like we explained. Rabbanan ad Rabbanan lo kasha, man chacham rameir da amar be'inan t'nai kafel. That the chachamim are Rav Meir, who generally assumes you need a t'nai kafel for any t'nai to be valid. And in our case, we're dealing with a case that he did not make a t'nai kafel at the time of the divorce. He just says, I'm divorcing you, Misha Milanus, but he never made it as a t'nai, and that's why in our case, the Rabbanan hold that we're not going to be choshish for kilkul, because he never attached a real t'nai to the divorce. Whereas in the previous case, there was a real t'nai attached to the divorce.